And then, with the roasting done, the meal set out, the others took their seats on chairs and stools, were just putting their hands to bread and meat when old Dollius trudged in with his sons, worn out from the fieldwork. The old Sicilian had gone and fetched them home, the mother who reared the boys, and tended Dollius well, now that the years had ground the old man down. When they saw Odysseus, knew him in their bones, they stopped in their tracks, staring, struck dumb. But the king waved them on with a warm and easy air. "Sit down to your food, old friend. Snap out of your wonder. We've been cooling our heels here long enough, eager to get our hands on all this pork, hoping you'd all troop in at any moment." Spreading his arms, Dollius rushed up to him, clutched Odysseus by the wrist and kissed his hand, greeting his king now with a burst of winging words. "Dear master, you're back, the answer to our prayers. We'd lost all hope, but the gods have brought you home. Welcome, health, the skies rain blessings on you. But tell me the truth now, this I'd like to know. Shrewd Penelope, has she heard you're home? Or should we send the messenger?"
"She knows by now, old man," his wily master answered brusquely. "Why busy yourself with that?" So Dollius went back to his sanded stool. His sons, too, pressing around the famous king, greeted Odysseus warmly, grasped him by the hand, then took their seats in order by their father. But now, as they fell to supper in the lodge, rumour the herald sped like wildfire through the city, crying out the news of the suitors' bloody death and doom, and massing from every quarter as they listened, kinsmen milled with wails and moans of grief before Odysseus's palace. And then they carried out the bodies, every family buried their own, and the dead from other towns they loaded onto the rapid ships for crews to ferry back again, each to his own home. Then, in a long mourning file, they moved to assembly, where once they'd grouped, crowding the meeting grounds. Old Lord Eupeithes rose in their midst to speak out. Unforgettable sorrow wrung his heart for his son Antinous, the first that great Odysseus killed. In tears for the one he lost, he stood and cried, "My friends, what a mortal blow this man has dealt to all our island people. Those fighters, many and brave, he led away in his curved ships. He lost the ships, and he lost the men, and back he comes again to kill the best of our Cephallenian princes. Quick, after him, before he flees to Pylos or holy Elis, where Epeans rule in power. Up, attack, or we'll hang our heads forever, all disgraced, even by generations down the years, if we don't punish the murderers of our brothers and our sons. My life would lose its relish, for me at least. I'd rather die at once and go among the dead. Attack, before the assassins cross the sea and leave us in their wake." He closed in tears, and compassion ran through every Achaean there. Suddenly Medon and the inspired bard approached them, fresh from Odysseus's house where they had just awakened. They strode into the crowds. Amazement took each man, but the herald Medon spoke in all his wisdom, "Hear me, men of Ithaca, not without the hand of the deathless gods did Odysseus do these things. Myself I saw an immortal fighting at his side.